are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, as I said, we're talking about family of faith and our subject this morning, United We Kneel. And we're talking about family prayer, which shouldn't be just a routine. I mean, sometimes it seems to be. But it's not supposed to be. It shouldn't be a routine. It's supposed to be a lifeline that binds hearts and strengthens relationships. And praying together invites God into the center of family life, offering guidance, unity, and peace. But in today's fast-paced world, how exactly can families make this a priority? In our conversation this morning, we want to explore the transformative power of family prayer and how it can create a legacy of faith. This is a very important subject, and we're hoping that we can connect with Pastor Manya so that we can get into conversation about the importance of family prayer. I believe the pastor joins us now on the line. Good morning, Pastor. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you and the listeners?
Doing very well, Pastor. Thank you so much for making time for us to speak with us this morning. I hope you've had a good week.
Well, it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful, though a bit hiccups here and there, but the Lord has been faithful.
Amen.
Can't complain.
Amen. Amen. That's what we like to hear. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, once again for joining us this morning. We're talking about a very important subject here, family prayer. And, you know, for some people, it might just be a routine thing that we tick off our checklist. Okay, we did it. But we want to make it even more meaningful, but maybe want to really get to the root of why it's even an important aspect of family life. Why do we need to have family prayer?
Thank you. You've just brought it out right. Look at this. We are living in a world where a family seems to lose its value. And by definition of family, you are talking of a united front.
Yeah,
people that are knit. People that are knit together. The sense of independence is based on a dependence on each other. So, yeah. So you know, the world seems to of I can do anything as long as I feel I can. And we are losing that focus of
right.
The essence of a family.
Yeah.
So we realize that prayer, as much as we get the definitions even from the spiritual prophets and around there is other writers, it's a connector. Prayer is a connector.
Yeah.
it's a connector and from the aspect of prayer, as Ellen White puts it, it takes us up to God and not God coming down to us. It connects us to God. And when you look at the concept, God is all-sufficient. Mm-hmm. We are limited. We are insufficient in so many ways. But when it connects us to God, we become so sufficient. We have the ability. Now imagine if prayer connects us to God, what of the family? If the family is united in prayer, you have aspects of insufficiency that are taken note of because within the family there are people that have abilities better than the other person,
right.
So they're not doing it in comparison or competition, but they are doing it in the sustenance of the entire unit.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
They're doing it in the sustenance of the entire unit. So the concept of prayer then brings out this realistic approach that when a family prays together, like others would say, it stays together.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. And so having established that importance of the family praying together, how then can families establish a consistent and a meaningful routine for their prayer life?
Sure. I want us to also appreciate this, Bongi, that prayer is not a natural phenomenon.
Okay.
It doesn't come out naturally within us. We may have the desire, but to practice it is not that natural. Remember, we are conflicting with this controversy within us, where the devil is there, who doesn't want us to connect with God, and in fact, his interest is to have this disintegrated families.
Yes.
Okay, disintegrated families. So consistency as a word itself is something that doesn't just come by one day, but it comes with intentionality.
Yes.
Now, I want us to pick up something, because intentionality comes with priority.
Mm-hmm.
So if prayer is not set as a priority, be rest assured that there will be no consistency. Yeah, there will be no consistency, because it will be suffocated by other priority activities.
Yes.
So, yeah, families would make time to go out for movies, to go out for shopping, and collectively they'll be excited.
Yeah.
But if they don't make time, intentional time, to say, now this is a time for us to collectively pray, they will not pray.
Mm.
So the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7 in the Old Testament tells us, brings out the concept of family in being consistent in growing in the ways of the Lord. So
right.
The Bible says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Now, if we are to get a consistency in the aspect of prayer here from this text, it tells us that if you're not intentional at every point of the day's journey with as a family, then you will not pray. Then you will not pray. It will just be a spasmodic routine where you just say, here now we need to pray. Okay, fine, you pray.
When so you when feel
you,
like
that, you know, when you feel like it, the consistency says it's not about when you feel like it. Mm. Even when you don't feel like it, you have to pray. That's what consistency demands. Yeah, that's what consistency demands. And that's how prayer then begins to model us out of the natural phenomenon of our existence to the supernatural phenomenon of the existence, because prayer is divine. Prayer is divine. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, he says we ought to pray continuously. In all circumstances, there should be no circumstance that should hinder our prayer and our ability to pray. So here's a family. You know, families go through different things, different issues that they may be racing with, fighting. There should be no time that a family should feel prayer is invalid because of a rough patch that they are going through. In the valleys, let the families embrace prayer.
I love that. I really love that. Anytime I hear this emphasis on the intentionality, it's so important. I think that's one thing that I think we have lost in this current generation, that we don't have that intentionality, and we're very much guided by how we feel. And so if I don't feel the need to pray, whether it's a prayer of thanksgiving or a prayer of desperation, but if I don't have the feeling, then I don't do it. And that has guided us in many aspects of our lives, unfortunately, which is why you see society so degraded at this point. But that emphasis that prayer is so important, that whether you feel like it or not, you have to do it. When we're talking about things like work, most of us show up to work, whether we like it or not. We show up to our job.
Definitely.
But when it comes
even
to,
when we are sick, by the way, we will say, I will say, okay, fine, let me report. Then I will say, okay, this is how I'm feeling.
Yes.
Then our bosses will say, okay, now, okay, you can go. You are really sick.
Yes. Only if I'm desperately sick. But otherwise, I will show up to my job no matter how I feel. But when it comes to something so important like prayer, we're guided by how we feel, unfortunately. So I really appreciate that emphasis. Now, Pastor, what would you say are the spiritual and emotional benefits of praying together as a family? You already said a family that prays together stays together, as the saying goes. But what are some of those those benefits that we can see in the life of a family that prays together?
All right. So I'm looking at prayer as an equalizer. It's not segregatory, like it doesn't show partiality or favoritism. It's a place where everyone is equal. Now the equal footing that prayer puts us then tells us that your insufficiency, your invalid or your challenges, when we come to prayer, we bring them to the same table where each one is considered as alike. And when we assess the weakness, then we don't look at you as a failure, but we look at you as one who has hope and potential to be better than the way you feel. So, you know, there is emotional baggages. Children grow up in a different way. They have different temperaments, even spouses, husband and wife.
Mm.
Okay. And rarely do we find people, when they recognize a weakness or a challenge in a child or in the spouse, that they will say, okay, yes, we'll talk about this conflict issue. However, let's extend it further to say, let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray about it. Mm-hmm. Now, when we bring these conflicting issues that we may be having in families, maybe a child is kind of wayward, they are hooked on drugs, they are hooked on any other substances that are not favorable, or any behavior really, behaviors that are questionable. Now, imagine the atmosphere and the difference where you are talking about a negative thing that already produces negative energy when you talk about it.
Yeah.
And every day you are talking about it, and look at the negative energy that is growing in the home. And if we changed it to a prayer life where we say, okay, fine, we've noticed this challenge that you are having, and you are struggling, we can tell that you are struggling, but we are praying for you. We are encouraging you. You are aiming on the positives. Okay. You are aiming on the positive. That is to address the mental aspect of the person that is going through that challenge.
Yeah.
And prayer offers us promises. And this is why I love the spiritual benefit, addressing also the mental benefits or the emotional benefits that can come through prayer.
Yeah.
Matthew 18, verse 19 to 20. It tells us that where to, okay, I tell you, again, truly I tell you, Jesus is speaking. I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Mm.
For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them.
Mm. Powerful.
Now, That's a promise in for the family. And Jesus is not saying where two perfect people are gathered, where two highly religious spiritual people are gathered, where two committed people are, where two educated, he simply said where two or more are gathered in his name.
Yeah.
They have this intention to say, okay, we've tried this, we've done this and this and this. But if you can recognize that the name of God is a strong tower, when the weak run into it, they are safe. Hey. When the family that is suffering degeneration, challenges and everything, in their weakness of state, when they run into that tower, they are safe. And when they ask and pray to God, they no longer look upon each other from the point of their failures and weaknesses and faults, but they look at each other from the point of strength, because they have submitted their request, their need to their Maker,
Amen.
The one who has constituted family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Paul further in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You might have lost a loved one, might have lost a child, might have lost a spouse, and the family is crushed because of that loss. I want to encourage you even this morning that you can still trust God.
Amen.
God, when you trust him by prayer, it is not a sequential of phrases. That's not what prayer is.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is our recognition of God and his ability and his ever-present help in our time of need.
Amen. Amen. Sure. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, what about the role of parents? What can parents or how can parents model heartfelt prayer for their children? What can we do as parents so that our children can follow in our footsteps and develop their own healthy prayer lives for their own families?
Thank you so much. I want to pick it up from two places. So we have maybe a family that has not been Christian all along, mm-hmm. and the children are all grown up. Okay. So probably a stage of development and instilling certain characters is not there.
Yeah.
Like, it's past.
Yeah.
And there's a family which is a Christian family, starts out as a Christian family, and they're growing up in that space.
Yeah.
So I want to address first the family that joins to believe in God at the stage where the children are all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that there is always hope at every stage of life.
Amen.
And the method of Christ and Christ touching our lives then becomes a pivotal point where children, because there's a way children have looked at you, they have seen you, your behavior, and the way in which you do things. And when Christ touches your heart, they can evidently see the change, and the positive change can inspire, can compel, the love of God will compel their hearts to say, what my mother and father are now doing is really something that is bringing out true evidence of change and impactful change, which is better than we were before this God they have met. So that becomes an inspiration. That's a point of inspiration. And there lies in the hope that you can still then model your children. Okay. Yeah. You can, like Proverbs 22, verse 6 would tell us that you can now also train them from the point of your conversion.
Mm.
Train them to be to trust in God. Encourage them. Instill the purpose of trusting in God and talking to God and telling encouraging them that God is not a judgmental God,
yeah.
but God is a friend who you can pour your heart and just show him, tell him there is nothing that is too hard for him. There's no too rough an experience that God cannot accommodate.
Mm.
So you can even encourage them to say, we are the evidence of how God can accept us in our messed up state.
Mm.
Then for those who are already Christian, like that's a Christian home, please, I would want us to be encouraged that, like I earlier mentioned, this is not a natural thing. This is a change, a transformation of life.
Mm.
And the more we practice it and we set that example of showing the desire that prayer works when you pray, that you can trust God, whether God has answered your prayer now or not at this particular time, but you can still consistently trust him and believe in him. You can show it even through the devotion time.
Mm.
Set a deliberate time for devotion. Whether you are out of town, this time the world has changed. There's online.
Yeah.
Make sure that wherever you are, you call your family. It's time for devotion.
Yep.
Let them see. Yeah, children are in school. Call them. It's time. It's time for devotion. Let them see that even when you are far from each other, prayer brings you closer. There's no barrier when it comes to prayer. And there is no hindrance to your prayer life. There's no hindrance to your prayer life, but we can take use of the available methods that the Lord has put to channel our and engage in the consistency of prayer life. So at every stage, let's make sure that we develop and inculcate the values of trust in God through prayer. Ellen White in Child Guidance says, The Spirit of Prophecy, page 519, let the father and mother, when they rise in the morning, kneel before God and lift up their hearts in prayer for their children. Don't shy. Don't shy. You pray for them, but even show them that you are praying for them. Yeah.
Sure. That's
teach your beautiful. Children to pray. In Education, page 186, teach your children to pray. Let them know that God hears and answers them. And as they go to their daily duties, they can send up silent petitions to God and receive His grace and help in times of need.
Mm.
So if don't do it privately.
Okay.
Do it publicly with them and show them and let them know that there is no special formula, but it's just about opening your heart to God.
Love
and
it.
You can talk to God as to a friend.
Oh, yeah. Man. Love that. Love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, Pastor, as we're coming close to the end of our conversation here, but what role does prayer play in resolving family conflicts and strengthening bonds? That's a big one that a lot of people go through. Sometimes it's also hard to pray together because of the conflicts, and yet we need to pray together because of those conflicts. So what role exactly does prayer play in resolving those conflicts?
Depending on the type of conflict, we can understand that conflicts even instill mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trust issues come in.
Yeah.
And people begin to lose trust. And if you look at this, parents and children become models to each other, especially parents. And if a child has lost trust in you and you no longer be a model, and now this is a struggle, how can you talk about praying? How can you talk about praying when you are the one that led us as a family into this mess? So the first point I can encourage us is be humble and confess your sins, even before your children. Do you know that parents, sometimes we are filled with pride? We are filled with pride that we feel we know it all and we can't humble ourselves before a child and confess our faults before them and tell them, I am wrong. You are not suggesting that the child is better than you or they are righteous than you. You are just acknowledging the principle of life and managing a conflict in a home and keep up the spirit of God flowing through favorably, even amidst the crisis. So it's quite challenging.
Yeah.
Because the only way you can strengthen your bond after a conflict is through confession and forgiveness. But this is what James 5 verse 16 says. Therefore, confess your faults to each other. Then prayer comes in. The Bible further says, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, look at this. Where is righteousness coming from? The concept of righteousness here in this text is being derived from a faulty person, a person that has committed a fault towards the other.
Right.
But they've done the righteous thing that restores them. That is confessing their faults to each other. Then they can pray for each other. And when they do that, God has assured that that's the only way the strong bond in a family can come as a result of healed souls.
Yeah.
People have been healed because they've humbled and confessed their faults to each other. Ephesians 4 verse 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There is hope in these homes, in our families.
Amen.
If only we can take a fresh look at the word of God and say, Lord, here we are. We want to practice as your word says it.
Yes.
We can see families reviving, strengthening their bonds. Remember, your messed up situation is not the end of your family bond. It just tells you how much you can be strong when you are together. So challenges are not essentially a deterrent to family bonds, but they are a way to help you recognize that when you get healed from them, you become stronger than you were before that challenge came through.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
And then how can families actually make prayer a joyful and unifying experience for all members, so that yes, we are being consistent, yes, we are being intentional, but we also want it to be enjoyable and joyful for everybody? How can we do that?
Um, There was a time I was speaking to a congregation, and I says, you know, the greatest curse that is looming in our Christian life is a life that lacks praise. Yeah, a life that lacks praise. Most of the time when your prayer life is just about, I need this, Lord, help me, complaining, the what, it removes that favor, that savor, that sweetness of why you should pray. And if people can make prayer joyful, remember that the joyfulness of prayer is knowing who you are talking to. This is God who knows you, who understands what you need. And above all, this is a God who requires you to praise him even when you have not seen the results. Yeah, even when we've not seen the results, because there is power in praise. And when we are worshiping the Lord, Psalm 100 verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Let our prayer life be seasoned not with just petitions of requests. We need this, we want this, we want that. But let them count your blessings and name them one by one. Yes. Imagine how it would be when you kneel down as a family and each one is stood. Please begin to count the blessing one by one, which you have seen the Lord has done for you.
Hey.
You begin to realize that even the requests that you have already answered, because you understand that the same God who has walked with us is the same God even in the current state of affairs. And he will not disappoint us, because even then, he responded, he answered even before we called upon him.
Amen. Sure.
Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. A joyful prayer life, I don't know if I can say it even much better than this, comes through praising and recognizing God of who he is as one who deserves our praise. Ellen White says, let the seasons of family worship be short and spirited. Do not let your children or any member of your family dread from them because of their tedious processes and lack of interest. Let them be exciting. Let them be filled with songs of worship and praise. Let them be filled with prayers of praise. And let it be short and be specific to the point of what you want God to do for you. And when God answers, dear parents and children, when God answers, find that time for testimony time and just say, the Lord has answered today. Just as we celebrate our birthdays, find a moment where you say, today we are celebrating as a family how God has answered our prayers.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
And what I like about that, Pastor, is that the focus is no longer on us. When we're talking about making prayer a joyful experience, it's not because it is entertaining me, but because my focus is not even on myself now. My focus is on God himself, who is worthy of all the praise I'm finding. And he keeps on showing me, revealing himself to me and revealing different reasons why he deserves the praise. Then that should make it simpler for me to praise him, even while I'm going through difficulties, even before I have seen the answer to a particular prayer, I can still praise him, like you said, for who he is.
Amen. Amen.
That's beautiful.
Amen.
Pastor, how would you, how would you end this conversation? What word of advice would you give to the families out there as we say goodbye? Just some key points that you'd like each and everyone to take away.
Let me say this, that God's intention is for family to work. At the stage where you may be as a family, it's not a mistake.
Okay.
You may have made erroneous decisions, but remember that God has kept you alive even up to this time, because there's certain things, some decisions that you've made which would have even eradicated your entire family. Wrong ones. But look at the positive side of it. The Lord has kept you. That's a sign of hope for me.
Yep.
That's a sign of hope. Some of us would have feel like we've failed God. No, my children are wayward. I think I've contributed because I've not had time with them.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the effect we are looking at. But look at the impact. The impact is this, that when you address things correctly, when you feel you cannot, this is impossible for me, this I cannot do, that is a clear starting point that there is one who can make your impossible possible. And that is God. You cannot fail. You cannot limit God and time him in your own failures and think God has failed you because you have failed him. No, there's never a time that God will stop being a victor for our lives. So if only as a family unit, as individuals in those families can give God a fresh look and opportunity to have him come through. Remember, he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman, and I want to add, if any family would hear my voice and open, I will come in and dine with them.
Amen.
I will reconcile you. I will revive you. I will rejuvenate you. Excuse me. I will empower you. I will change your wrong decisions.
Yep.
Yes, impact. Yeah, things have happened. Yes, it's true. I know things have happened. But that's not the life I want you to have.
Yeah.
I have a better life. I am knocking. I'm consistent. I know you are inconsistent, but I'm consistent with you. There's never a time that I've left you. There's never a time that I will ever leave you unless you just close the door. And you don't hear. In fact, even if you decide to shut the door, listen to what the Bible says. The voice, even if you try to ignore the knock, there's a voice that is stronger than the knock. That is screaming. That is shouting in every evidence of your situation and experience. It is screaming, yes, this is wrong. This is rough. This is bad. You have lost. This is death. You are going through financial challenges. But there's a strong voice, and that's the voice of Jesus telling you, don't give up. Open, just open the door of your heart. Just open. Your child is hooked on drugs and everything. And they've dropped out of church. Don't think God has left them. There is a voice stronger than a knock that is calling and yet knocking and says, open, open. I'm willing to dine with you. Aish, for me, that's the hope. Live with us
Aish.
As families living in this generation.
Yep.
That the presence of Jesus goes beyond generations.
Amen.
It is ever present. It Amen. Is ever present and ever ready for every situation that a family may be going through. Excuse me. I think that's my punchline.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor. What a beautiful way to wrap up our conversation. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming through. We really appreciate everything that you've shared to encourage our families to pray together so that they may stay together. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate it. Thank you for the invite.
Amen. Amen. Have a lovely Sabbath ahead.
Thank you. Same to you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.